Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Back in here live on a fourth and final hour Tuesday edition of Morning Drive. Nick Braden, D-Maze Marquise, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chris Mason coming up at the bottom of the hour. The Predators take on the Anaheim Ducks tonight. Anaheim 6-3 on the year with 9 points. So a good opponent, a good test coming to Bridgestone Arena tonight. We'll talk to C-Maze about the game at 9:30. The big finish coming up at 9:45. One of the things we started off the show this morning with was, you know, when you look at the Tennessee Titans now, and we've had a day to kind of, you know, let things settle down with Tannehill and not overreact. So how are we feeling the day after? And when we look at Tannehill and the Titans, what can this team potentially be if he plays above what his track record indicates?
This is a team that, to me, will put themselves in a position to, you know, earn a playoff spot. I think now, because of how their schedule sit at the beginning, you know, they're two games behind, three really, behind Indianapolis. They're two games behind Houston, and them and Jacksonville are battling it out. But then if you look at their schedule moving forward, they got Tampa, Panthers, Chiefs with or without Mahomes, Jacksonville again, the Colts, and then obviously Raiders, Texans, Saints, Texans. If he continues to play the way he has been, the way he played this past weekend or even above that, then as long as they don't have any key injuries. Now, we don't know the status of Conklin. We don't know the status of Davis, Nate Davis. But if they stay relatively healthy on offense and on defense somewhat, then this could be a team where those last three games of the season, in particular those last, you know, the two games against the Texans, can determine whether – I don't think they win the division. I think, to me – and it's surprising. I just thought they would be a 9-win team. But it slowly but surely look as if Indianapolis is probably, minus Mahomes, probably the second-best team.
Baltimore?
I don't know. I like Baltimore a lot, but their defense hadn't been playing well.
I like the way the Colts play the game. Like, they just play the game the right way.
I like the Colts offensively, defensively, and head coach. I like Baltimore head coach offensively. Their defense ain't holding the end of the bargain, and that's uncommon of a Baltimore defense. But I just think those last two games, those two of the last three games of the season will determine, I believe, if Tannehill continues to play the way he's playing, will determine whether they make the playoffs or not. I don't think they're winning the division, but I think that would determine whether they make the playoffs or not.
So the answer to your question, Nick, specifically, I think is kind of what Derek's saying. Like, you're in contention in the last month of the season, right? Like, you feel like if you rattle off a few wins in December and January that you can be in a playoff race. Like, I've been skewed. And again, I've lived here in this city longer than the Titans have been here, so I've been around for every season. And I feel like, you know, objectively, I look at it, this franchise, and I say, if they're giving you competitive, meaningful football games in the final 4 weeks of the year, that's a win. Like, I know that's not fair to judge because fans look at it and they go, I want a Super Bowl, right? Fans look at it and go, I want a championship. And I think that's okay. That's the way fans should look at it. I don't look at this organization, and I have not seen anything close to championship-level football at any point, dating all the way back probably till 2000, right? Since the game y'all lost to Baltimore. Don't mean to bring up a bad memory there. But, like, outside of that, this team has never really been close. They had one really great season in 08. But I just don't – I believe – meaningful football games in the end of the year where you have a reason to tune in, you have a reason to watch because there are stakes, right? Like, to me, that's what the goal is. Like, I want there to be meaningful games in the final four, a reason to watch all 16, right? Like, that's what I want. I'm spoiled as a Packers fan in that I've largely had that for the last 30 years. Like, that is as lucky as it gets in the NFL to since 1993, with the day Brett Favre stepped onto that field. As a Packers fan, they've largely been relevant every December for my entire life. That's pretty lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't get that. Patriots fans get that, right? Steelers fans maybe get that. There's only a few franchises that give you that. The idea that the Titans could be playing meaningful football games for four consecutive years in the final month of the season, that is a step up from where they used to be. So, again, maybe I'm looking at it from like a 10,000-foot view.
It could really be a step up just in the last 2 weeks. Think about it. They're a 2.5, 3-point favorite at home this week against the Buccaneers, a game that I think theoretically they should win, although the Bucs are coming off of a bye and a poor performance. So in the NFL, usually, as soon as you think you have somebody labeled, they totally flip the script on you. You could be 4-4 at the, quote, halfway point of the season,
which is all fine.
Of a sudden your second half has meaning.
I really think, I mean, if you told me every NFL team, I'm at 6-6. If you told me you're at 6-6 and you got a month to go of the season, I think a lot of coaches would take that.
Like, because by and large, you control your destiny, short of tiebreakers.
If you told me I'm 6-6 and I'm healthy, my roster is healthy and we're 6-6 after 12 games, I'm taking it. Because all I got to do then is probably win 3 out of 4, and I'm probably going to make the playoffs. You know, even 5-5. If you give me 5-5 after 10 games and say, all right, you got 6 more games to go, and you're healthy. I think most NFL coaches would take that and say, all right, we just got to finish the last 6 games and go 4-2. And all of a sudden, we're going to be, you know, we'll have a winning record. So, I don't know. I think, to your point about the halfway mark at 4-4, that's basically what you can ask for, especially if you're healthy. And this team, you know, I know Conklin and Nate Davis, you pointed that out. Jayon Brown didn't play. You know, clearly he was missed, right, with Austin Ekeler and Hunter Henry dominating in open space where Jayon Brown would probably have been on those guys in coverage. He's going to be a piece that they need to get back. But, you know, Delanie Walker being healthy would be a huge boost. Like, clearly you want your team to be healthy. But if Ryan Tannehill plays at his best, which is what we saw on Sunday, then they can clearly win football games and make this a meaningful season. Like you said, it extended the season. I don't think that's any different with Marcus. I mean, if Marcus played his best, they've been in meaningful games every December and every January the last 3 years. I think it's a win for the franchise that they're relevant. And if Tannehill does that for you, great. Awesome.
Think about the way an NFL season plays out, though. So let's just move past the Bucs game for just a moment. And I am not sitting here writing off Tampa Bay. The Tennessee Titans are not good enough to write off any opponent they play. Mm-hmm. But let's say the Titans beat the Bucs. In 2 weeks, you're going to have a Tennessee-Carolina matchup that's going to feature, and assuming Ryan Tannehill plays good again this week, a resurgent Ryan Tannehill against a Panthers team with maybe the MVP in the league at running back, a great defense, and a quarterback by the name of Kyle Allen who's undefeated.
Well, you can't. I mean,
you can't script this stuff.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right, but I mean,
Teddy Bridgewater is like 5-0, like
just like, you know, it's weird because, okay, you figure, yeah, you're going up against Kyle Allen, and you hope that when you do play the Chiefs that Patrick Mahomes is not playing, but you still got to go up against Andy Reid. It's just a different story. But Kyle Allen might have been just like Tannehill. Kyle Allen might give them the best opportunity to win now. And maybe, just maybe, this would have been a surefire win if Cam was quarterback because he had a lot of injuries going on, but he still was trying to play through it. And I think if Cam's playing in this game, I'm picking the Titans 100 times out of 100.
Now he's busy reviewing wine and film.
Now Kyle Allen is at quarterback. I don't know. Because like Ryan Tannehill, he gives them the best chance to win moving forward.
And it should be like Kyle Allen to me is one of those stories. And I was watching, Devon Kennard, was it the Cowboys? He played for the Eagles, Devon Kennard. Like, I saw him make a really nice play.
Giants.
So
USC kid, right?
Yeah, but like a five-star recruit coming out of high school. Didn't get drafted, wasn't relevant, but now he's on a starting lineup, right? Like, this is what Kyle Allen is. Five-star kid out of Arizona, goes to Texas A&M, transfers to Houston. I said earlier in the show he's at Oklahoma. He went A&M to Houston. I thought there was a pit stop at Oklahoma, but Oklahoma was a finalist for him. But this is a guy who had all the talent in the world in high school, was a huge recruit going to college, went to a big-time power program. It didn't work out because Kyler Murray and him were there at the same time, and they actually went with the third guy, mm-hmm. Kellen. And so it ends up being – like, it's not surprising that a guy of his pedigree ends up starting in the NFL and having success. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's got long-term ability, but it shouldn't be surprising. You see these five-star kids crop up all the time as, like, third, fourth, fifth-round picks mm-hmm. because they didn't realize their potential in college, and then all of a sudden they get to the NFL and they're everywhere. Right?
No,
like,
you're right,
like all the LSU players, like under Les Miles, right? Like none of them lived up to potential in college, and they all ended up being really good players in the NFL.
What do you think? Because you know, last week was a dismal as far as fan participation, fans coming to the game. It was bad.
Better, I hope.
Do you think more people will come now that they've seen Ryan Tannehill play? They think, okay, yeah. A resurgence. Do you think more fans come out?
A percentage increase, yes. I'll leave you to interpret that.
3 to 5%.
Well, right? They need to come because I'm the 12th man, so they need to come.
Whoa.
Who's the 12th man?
Wait, what?
I am for this game.
Why are you not announcing this?
You don't want to tease that for a further future segment? Or?
Yeah, come on, radio guy.
So you're going to be on the the field?
Yeah.
Standing in a... Sweet. What
are you going to? Are you going to hold the? Are you going to have your shirt on? Will you take your shirt off?
Will you come out to Whitney Houston?
No, I'm not taking my shirt off.
I think you should come out to Whitney Houston with your shirt off.
I want to dance with somebody.
I want to take.
And you get
and just like, twerk on midfield.
Yeah, twerk in midfield
with your shirt off, holding a sword.
Man, I know. I don't want to.
Do you want to draw? Do you care about this show or not?
The ladies would be on me, man.
But do you care about the show? This should be about bringing attention to us.
The ladies would be on me.
So you are the 12th man this Sunday.
I don't know if I was supposed to say that. Good Lord.
Yeah, you kind of did out loud on a radio show.
Yeah, I did say that out loud. Was I supposed to say that, Titans? Oh, hell.
I'm asking myself. It's rhetorical and it's retroactive.
Hey, Emma, was I supposed to say that?
Oops.
Damned if I know.
Oops.
But I'm not getting in trouble for this one.
All I know, that's
on you, bro. That's a you problem.
All I know is that we're going to talk about it every day between now and Sunday. We need to have a plan.
Oh, man.
Can you get a morning drive tattoo on your chest and take your shirt off?
Yeah.
If it's a little chilly Sunday, will you roll out onto the field with a heating pad?
Yeah.
Like you're at Barrel House.
Absolutely. Damn Skippy.
Man.
Well, no, we've got to figure out a way to promote the show on this. Come on.
Just picture that. Like, let's just say it's like 48 degrees on Sunday, and D-Mace has the heating pad in his pants, and like Bob's in the stands. He goes, hey, Bill, is it me or did D-Mace put some pounds on? No, it's just a heating pad. Man, those receivers, they do put on the pounds when they shut it down.
Man.
So you're really going to be the 12th man?
Bubble butt.
Yeah, but I don't know if I was supposed
you trolling
to say
us?
I don't think you were supposed to say that. The look on your face tells me you were not supposed to say
but
that.
Nobody told me not to say it.
Well, then you're free.
Yeah, I'm free.
When they asked you, did they say, hey,
no, they didn't.
Do you do anything in public for 20 hours a week?
Exactly. They didn't tell me. They don't say anything. Like, shh.
You speak every morning for 4 hours a day.
I'm surprised I've said it now. You know, the only reason I thought about it because
you want the people to come out and see.
Hotcakes texted me yesterday and said congratulations, and I thought about it. That's one thing. We bust him a lot.
Stillman's a good dude.
Yeah, he does when things come up. He does call, and then he reminds me that I'm getting older.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Hey
yeah.
Man, I used to watch you. I'm like Stillman. Stop it now,
Stillman. I love you. You're a good dude. Your tweets suck. You need an editor because your grammar sucks.
All right, coming up next, we'll get some Titans calls, and then we've got Chris Mason at the bottom of the hour. Two of the more passionate callers I can see on the screen right now are they're in the chamber. They're ready to come out firing. We'll get to these calls when we come back. Stay there. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The game, 737-1025. The number to get involved, 615-737-1025. Nick, Braden, Marquise, and this schlub to my right is just going to be the 12th man on Sunday. No big deal. Derek Mason, had a couple of moments here in Nashville.
He just kind of rolled it out there.
Yes.
I had a drink of coffee.
Hey, look, Mace, if you don't promote yourself, nobody else
is
going to.
Who will? Absolutely. But I don't know if I was supposed to say something now.
Well, it's too late now.
Yeah. Well, I hope you spend the rest of the week wondering about that.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep on promoting it now.
There you go.
Yeah.
So the question is...
Unless they text me and say, hey, can't say it anymore.
Well, it's already out there now.
I know, but
I'm gonna. Can I tweet it?
Because everybody's
listening.
Can I
say sources?
Because everybody's listening.
If they get mad at you, you know what you say? Okay, that's fine. I'll go to the Ravens game and I'll do this.
I'm gonna tweet,
just like I did 15 years ago.
Sources indicate Derek Mason will be 12 man.
How about that?
Sources.
Let's go to Cedric, who's next on Morning Drive. Cedric, what's going on?
Man, what's up, Derek Mason? When you are on the field on Sunday, can we get a reenactment of the game where Steve came back as the Ravens quarterback and you scored your first touchdown in the north end zone and you violently threw the ball against the wall and gave a gesture to all the Titans fans that were booing you guys?
What sort of gesture? What sort of gesture was that?
That wasn't the,
well, he was pointing the number one fan to all the people.
That was...
Did you fly the bird?
No, I've never given a bird. Heck no. I would have got fined big time. But no, that wasn't when Steve was there, because we ended up losing that game. I remember that game. We ended up losing.
That wasn't Steve?
No, that was the next following year with Steve, and we end up winning the game because Baronis missed like a 58-yard field goal.
You've told that story before,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So was that your first game back?
Yeah, that was my first game.
Okay.
Yep. That was my first game back. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. Well, hey, listen. So Nick pointed out that the Titans are favored. What we need to see out of Tannehill is, can he be a quarterback that wins the games we're supposed to? Because when our backup was starting, these are the games that he would lose, man. And you know, that's frustrating as a Titans fan to go there. You got teams like the Patriots and you're high, but then the low of losing a game to like Miami or whoever, teams like that, man, those lows are way lower than the highs of beating the Patriots. So I want to see, can Ryan beat teams that he's supposed to win? And to touch on you guys' point, I was a long-time Oilers fan, was an Oilers fan since then, 1988. And this is the first year that I did not have season tickets because I could not watch our number two quarterback lose the games that he was supposed to. I couldn't do it, man. My Sundays were ruined. My wife was like, you're in a bad mood all over the Titan games. And my kids make fun of me because I'm sitting there talking trash about our number two quarterback now, and I couldn't do it, man. But I'm back in the stadium, man, if my boy Ryan can continue to do what he's doing.
Okay, so Cedric, two wins. If he goes 2-0 in his first two, you're back in.
I'm back in. I mean, okay. I'm all in. I just cannot watch the backup blow games like that he's supposed to win. I can't do it, man. My Sundays are ruined, man.
Yep, it's all his fault.
Sunday mornings are bad.
You're right.
I got you.
It's all one person's fault.
No,
everything that's ever gone wrong for that franchise, it's completely one guy's fault.
I think he's in the minority, though. I don't think a majority of Titans fans will buy in with just two games.
It all depends on, you know, where those two games are at. Those two games were to get you in the playoff, then obviously, yes.
If he does what he did on Sunday again this week against Tampa, people will slowly start to come back, for sure.
This is what I believe. I think he will, but I think he also will, you know, have turnovers. But I think he's going to continue to play well. Because I think this team is set up for a quarterback to play well.
But why is the offensive line going to be better?
I mean, they were better last week.
I know, but like,
and
is that sustainable?
Line, but look what they got, you know, coming up, they got the Buccaneers. Their defense is not, like, great.
I think the true test is Carolina, too.
They're great, yeah. Carolina's
legit.
That's going to be Jacksonville. Their defense is going to be pretty good. Mm-hmm. The Colts, their defense is always good. But I think if they just continue to do what they've been doing. Now, you're right. The offensive line has to continue to block well. Because if they don't, then nobody other than maybe Tom Brady can get behind underneath center and play behind a line like Marcus played behind the first four or five games of the season. But if he just continues to do what he's been doing, they're built to win games. They just got to win the games they're supposed to win. You know,
I just, like I said all summer, like all of us have said all summer, like we all had our guesses on what was going to happen. But the bottom line is, just like with Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee, we're all going to learn together. We're all going to learn together what's working and what's not. So we'll find out if Ryan Tannehill can continue this or not. And we'll all learn together next weekend.
Tyrikus next on Morning Drive. What's up, Tyrikus?
It's kind of cool when they hit a shh, you know, when they be like, next, it's kind of cool.
get you excited, doesn't it? You're on the air.
I'm like, oh, it's me. Then yeah. I lose my breath. Listen, quick question, man. As a Titans fan, man, as a diehard Titans fan, for the life of me, man, last year our defense ranked 5th, our offense ranked 28th, right? Mm-hmm. The year before that, our defense ranked, I think, 8th, and our offense ranked 28th. And I'm at every year I sit back and I look at, like, how could we sit here and say Marcus Mariota is the reason we're 9-7? Defense has been winning us every game. If we didn't have suck up, we wouldn't be 9-7. If we didn't have a top, let's be honest. If our defense ranked 10th the year we went 5 last year, we wouldn't be 9-7. We probably would be 7-9. That's all I want to talk about. And I finally see a new court. I'm sorry.
Here's the thing, Tyreek. I think Floyd nailed it. If you were listening at 6:30. Floyd said if you can get 21 points a week, you should win virtually every game because this team has yet to give up more than 20.
No, you're absolutely right.
21's a magic number.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, I think Chicago is sort of dealing with that problem where they're going to hold teams under, you know, 20 points somewhere around on average. But then their offense has to score 20, and their offense hadn't been able to consistently score 21, 22 points. And for the Titans, it's the same way. Their defense is holding teams under 20 points. If you score 21 points a game, you win, you know, and that's what they hope Ryan will give them moving forward. Just spot us 21 points at the defense. Give us 21 points at the defense. We'll take care of the rest. And, you know, it's right. I mean, you look at New England. New England's the same way. Their team's going to score 100 points. But, you know, their defense is great.
100 points is a lot of points.
Yeah, you're right.
that'd be a record.
And Kansas City is like on the other end. You know, their offense has to score 28, 30 points. Because they know their defense is giving up 20-some points. So, you're right. If they score 21 points from here on out, if the defense continues to play the way they've been playing, they're going to win more games than they lose.
21 points, though, still puts you at, like, 24th in the NFL.
But I'm saying, 20th depending in the NFL, on what their defense,
no,
what
course.
Their defense is
of
giving
course.
Up.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of revisionist history going on. And that's okay, because people are frustrated, and I understand that. But and to your point, Derek, which I think is the most accurate point, which is they in big time prime time moments last year, Marcus and the offense showed up. New England, Philly, Dallas, you know, the London game. Like, they played good games last year against big time teams, and then they struggled against Buffalo. Now, is that because Buffalo's defense is a little better than we should have, you know, maybe we should have given them more credit, or because the entire team sucked, right? Like, what is it? We don't know. Well, guess what? We're going to learn. We're going to find out. If Ryan Tannehill is sacked 5 times a game the next 10 games, they're probably not going to win a lot.
Big Finish coming up at 9:45. Coming up on the other side, our buddy Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst. He'll join us after this on Morning Drive.
Here's an equation for you that you're really going to like. It all adds up to big savings. Let's do the math. Now you can get Xfinity Internet and Xfinity Mobile each for $30 a month. That equals awesome Wi-Fi from America's best internet provider and the best LTE on the go. It's the ultimate coverage solution. It's all in the numbers. You can save up to $800 a year on your wireless bill with Xfinity Mobile. How about that? And until October 27th, you could even get $250 back when you purchase an eligible smartphone. It's basically the perfect equation. Xfinity makes saving simple, easy, and awesome. Don't miss out on Xfinity Internet and Mobile. Each for $30 a month, you'll get internet now with up to 100 megabits per second download speed for 12 months with a 1-year agreement and Xfinity Mobile with 3 gigs of shared wireless data. Or is it data? Go to Xfinity.com/save big. Xfinity.com/save big. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay. Internet offers 10/27/19. New performance internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Mobile savings compares to Verizon and AT&T plans. Actual speeds may vary and are not guaranteed.
Predators will try to win the fight tonight against the Anaheim Ducks. Welcome back in Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Maze, Marquise with you here on this Tuesday. The Big Finish coming up in 15 minutes. Right now, our weekly appearance with our buddy Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, brought to you by Freeland Chevrolet. C-Mace, what's happening, pal? How you doing this morning?
Doing fantastic. Just pulling into Bridgestone.
All right, let's get it going. I want to speak to you because I feel like professional athletes and confidence is a real thing. Like, I think we just look at pro athletes and say, oh, yeah, they're always confident. But when a pro athlete loses his confidence, it sometimes is a difficult thing to get back. And I'm obviously referring to Kyle Turris, who's having a tremendous season. He's got to be feeling confident again. Just how big, and you can speak on it being a goalie, how big is confidence in professional sports? Like, when you lose it, when you have it, it's a world of difference, right?
Honestly, I honestly think confidence is probably the number one thing for an athlete. You could take an inferior player and pit them against a superior player, and if the superior player does not have confidence, that inferior player has the advantage, in my opinion, because, you know, especially when you get to the top level, everyone's got skill, you know, and obviously there's superstars in the game, but, you know, guys don't get to that level by accident, and especially stay at that level. So confidence in the game is everything. It's that when you're not confident, you're second guessing, you're doubting, you're waiting that split second too long because you're not 100% sure about your decisions. When you're confident, you're letting your instincts, your ability, your skill just take over, and you're just, you know, you're able to anticipate better. The game slows down for you. When you're not, the game seems like it's going 100 miles an hour, and you know, you're one step behind all the time because you're not sure of yourself. So for this year, you know, speaking to Kyle Turris, you can just see the confidence. It's like a, you know, it's like a different player. And we've all been there as an athlete, you know, when you're not feeling it and that you don't have that confidence, it shows in your body language and the way that you play the game. And, you know, people think that, you know, athletes are always confident, but they're not exempt to. They got a lot of insecurities. They're just like anyone else. And in those certain situations, when you don't have it, you can tell. And I think this year you can tell that Kyle's, you know, got that fresh start, and he's trying to take advantage of his situation. He's obviously not getting as many minutes as he has in previous years. But when he's out there, you know, he's just so much faster. He's making good decisions. When he's shooting the puck, he's ripping that thing. So you can just tell that, you know, he's really – done a good job coming in with the right attitude, because it'd be easy for him just to, you know, just to shut it down and say, well, I'm not on the first, second line. I played that my whole career. I've never played wing, and, you know, all these different types of things, but he's taken the right approach to this season, and he's making big contributions.
I want to ask you about Ryan Ellis, and going back to the knee injury, the year of the Stanley Cup, he sits out most of this, or the first half of the season. He comes back and he plays, has huge moments for the team. He's like plus 26 in like 40 plus games. He's scoring goals. He's on the power play. And then they get to Winnipeg and they lose. And I think he probably would admit that he had a bad series. Fast forward all through last year, he sort of struggles a little bit, and defensively and offensively, he's not producing. Well, now he's leading the team in points after 8 games and on one of the best offenses in the NHL. There's confidence in what he's doing as well. Have you seen a change in his game this year, and is it still where it needs to be on defense?
Well, I think I think Ellis he's back to his old self. I think last year, you know, he still had a good year, put up decent amount of points, but it just didn't look quite like, you know, the Ryan Ellis that we've been accustomed to, where he's, you know, a dominant force offensively in terms of letting that one timer go and setting up plays and all those types of things. And then defensively, you know, this year, I think it's more of a collective team thing. I think a lot of times defensemen get pigeonholed if the team isn't doing great defensively, just by the nature of their position. But, you know, defense in any sport, especially hockey, it's a group of five, and the forwards have a lot of defensive responsibilities as well to make life easier on the defensemen and goalies. They got to come back, pressure the rush. They got to get back when it's in zone. And especially when the Preds, they play a man-to-man system sometimes. So everyone's got equal responsibility of taking their guy. One guy misses their assignment. Well, that's a huge scoring chance. A lot of times the defensemen, you know, get a little bit more blame for that. But I really do, you know, kind of like Turris, I don't know if it's a more of a health thing with Ellis, but he's kind of back to, you know, the Ryan Ellis that we knew. Had signed that, you know, that big contract, which is at the time and still is a bargain in comparison to his peers around the league. And I think, you know, again, health, confidence, fresh start, all those things go hand in hand. But Ellie definitely looks like that, you know, that leader, that that on the ice, especially with his play now, he's just out there every game. I mean, he's tied a franchise record for four multi-point games by a defenseman, you know, in a row with four. So he's doing his thing. So it's nice to see him because we know how effective he can be when he's playing at the top of his game.
Now, we see, Mace, we know this team can score with the best of them. You know, they I think they still lead the NHL in goals per game. But you know, the defense has been lacking somewhat. And then more importantly, the penalty kill. They ranked 30th in the penalty kill right now. What do you think that is? What contributes to that? And I know it's only 8 games and this thing can change. But we also thought that about the power play last year that, hey, listen, this thing's going to eventually change and things will get better. Well, it didn't get better. This year is much better. But what do you think contributes to them ranking so low in a penalty kill?
Yeah, that's a fair question for sure. I think right now, you know, a penalty kill, to have a successful penalty kill, you kind of need, well, you have to have all 4 guys out there on the same page because, you know, you have one person break down or, you know, not take care of their assignment or get a puck out when they have the puck on their stick. And a lot of times it ends up in the back of the net because obviously you're playing against the other team's, you know, most talented players. So I think right now they just aren't quite as in sync as they should be. You know, it's one of those things. One of the rules is if there's, you know, a bouncing puck, guys' backs turn against the wall. If one guy goes, all guys go. So you got to go together. One guy's going to attack, and then you close off the other options to try to get that puck back. And I feel like teams might be getting set up a little too easy in the zone. And once they get set up as a penalty kill, you can't be as aggressive. You have to respect the skill and the fact that they have an extra guy, so you kind of have to back off and get in position. And I feel like they're just an inch away from closing off that cross-ice passing lane here, an inch away from, you know, breaking up that play here. So I just think it's not a major fix that these guys have to do because they've had great penalty kills in the past, and that's, you know, been a strong suit of the Predators, I think, for a lot of years is their penalty kill, and they have, you know, relatively the same personnel. So I don't feel like this is maybe like last year's power play, although it's, you know, it's not good right now. I think this is this to me is an easier fix than you know, trying to figure out how to score goals on a power play. So I think it's just, you know, a matter of they got off to a bad start, but I expect it to be better because it, you know, you're not going to win a lot of hockey games. Same thing. If your power play's not scoring, it's a weapon. Your penalty kill's the same. You need that unit out there shutting other teams' power plays down. And right now they're not getting it done, but I don't expect that to last.
Mace, always a pleasure. We appreciate the time, and we will be watching tonight on Fox Sports Tennessee. Thank you, Mace.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Chris Mason brought to you by Freeland Chevrolet, and of course, the game here on ESPN 102.5. The game puck drops shortly after 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage gets underway at 6 p.m. We will come back and wrap it up strong with the big finish next.
We've had a big show. And now it's time for a big finish.
That is correct. It is time for the big finish. But before we get to the rewind, it is your opportunity right now to win a pair of tickets to see Nashville SC at First Tennessee Park for the first round of the USL playoffs this Saturday. Tickets are available, NashvilleSC.com. But right now, if you are caller number 5 at 615-737-1025, you will secure yourself a pair of playoff tickets. So again, caller 5-615-737-1025 right now. And those tickets be yours. Braden Gall, the big finish, brought to you by
NashvilleSC.com. Of course, Nashville SC waiting to find out who its opponent's going to be over the weekend, as all those games will be tomorrow in the USL playoffs. So they'll find out who their opponent is tomorrow and then get ready to go in a playoff game on Saturday. Should be a ton of fun. Season tickets for next year's MLS inaugural season on sale now, of course, NashvilleSC.com. Cool stuff to have a team, second best team in the league, playing in a playoff game. That's cool stuff, man.
Let's get to the rewind. Welcome into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Nikhail Braden-Gall, Derek Mason, Marquise Munson with you live here on a Tuesday edition of the show. on Sunday, Stillman tweeted out that Tajay Sharpe kills the Chargers. No one else, only the Chargers. And some Titans fan, some follower of Stillman, replies back saying all Tajay Sharpe does, and he included Tajay's Twitter handle. He says all Tajay Sharpe does is make plays week in and week out. Stop hating Stillman. Hashtag he's on our side. Hashtag Titans. To which Stillman quote tweeted him and replied saying Sharpe scored for the first time since last November on October 20. To which then yesterday, Tajay Sharpe tweeted at Jared Stillman. He said, and I quote, "Hey, yo, Jared Stillman, keep my name out your mouth."
If you think it's personal and you're taking it personal and your feelings are hurt, go look at your bank account. All right? Because part of the reason you got all those zeros in your bank account is to deal with slappies like us talking about how you played on the field. That's it. That's
gotta change it.
If you don't want to play in the NFL, I won't talk about you on the show because you won't be relevant to our show.
Nah, I mean, he just have. I don't. I mean, maybe he could have. You know, but these young kids, man, they
didn't change my opinion of him.
They take everything personal.
He's a fine player.
The bank account thing's a good thing because when I get abused on Twitter by people that listen that say I suck, I look at my bank account and I'm like,
yeah,
damn,
yeah,
I do suck. I really do suck. You're right. See, you win. How great would it be if Tajay tweeted back to Stillman saying you were 2 minutes for your break time?
Dude, that's
you were late for
that
break.
That would kill me. Like
I would lose my mind.
It would be the crazy. Tajay's like, Tajay's, if Tajay tweeted, get
that was
back.
A weak tease, Jared.
Paid by the hour to report every single mention of every Titans player's name back to John Robinson. They mentioned Derrick Henry for 32 seconds in the 7:15 segment.
Didn't say anything bad about him.
Mm-hmm. It was mostly positive. They talked about his hair.
John, at 1:13 today, Willie Donick said he was not fond of Jonnu Smith.
Somebody said, pay what you owe. Don't know what that means, but take it to your own interpretation.
Yeah, generally, us as the Titans organization, we pay the players. It goes that direction. Generally, the Predators, they pay the players. Normally, the players don't pay the organization.
It's Floyd Reese time, the former Titans GM.
The thing that you saw with Tannehill is, this is just me now, but he appeared much more poised and relaxed in the pocket. The touchdown he threw to, who was it, Corey Davis in the end zone between those two guys, I'm not sure Marcus would have thrown that ball. And maybe not a lot of young quarterbacks would, but if you're a veteran NFL quarterback, you can throw that ball. You know the window's tight, but if you're accurate and you put some zip on the ball, you can get it in there, and I think that's what he did. So, you know, I think just being able to kind of do what you want a veteran NFL quarterback to do and not be special, you know, just be really solid. And I think that helped a ton.
The new head coach at Belmont, Casey Alexander.
I think we're all pushing each other to get better. You know, last year alone, you look, I mean, gosh, Tennessee's ranked number one at one point in time, and, you know, had an unbelievable run with that crew, and they're going to stay relevant, you know. And then you see Belmont and Lipscomb, two top 40 teams, mid-major teams here in Nashville, and then Memphis is, you know, on the cusp of doing something really good again, and they've had their moment. Kevin Stallings had unbelievable days at Vanderbilt for a stretch of time. Steve Forbes at East Tennessee State, that program's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Chattanooga's been really good over time. So there's a lot of potential for a lot of teams to do well in this state for people to be excited about basketball.
Mike Leach has a business idea for you guys.
I'd invent this. But instead of like a Zorro mask that covers your eyes, we're going to just have one that covers the mouth, you see. We could sell it to football coaches everywhere. You could have a deal where it kind of attaches on your ears, you know, kind of like eyeglasses, and hangs like right here like a veil. Not as exotic. We'd make it a little more studly and masculine. And it hangs like a veil because we don't want him to look like a belly dancer per se. But, and we could logo him up a little bit, you know. Even something like favorite cartoon characters. We could even draw a mouth on there.
Let's say your last name was Rice, and you had a boy tomorrow, and you named him Jerry.
Yeah, that's not fair.
Is that a violation?
I don't think it's fair to
the
kid.
I mean, it all depends on, like, if you were a sport fan. And
if you had no idea there was ever Jerry Rice.
If you knew who Jerry Rice was, but if you didn't know who Jerry Rice was, and you just named your kid Jerry, for one, if you're naming your kid Jerry these nowadays, no, don't name your kid Jerry.
I don't have a problem with Jerry.
I do have a problem with Jerry. Jerry to me just seems like a grown baby. Like, that's my baby Jerry. I'm like, damn, well, how old is he?
Is that like being Tommy instead of Thomas
exactly.
or Tom? Like when you're Tommy, you have to be at least you can't be older than like 19.
Exactly. It's like, no, I don't want to see a baby named Jerry.
Like Tommy Stevens at Mississippi State.
Yeah. It's just
go with Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas. I don't want to see a Tommy. Jerry. I don't want to see a baby named Jerry. I don't want to see a baby named Richard either. Like, that's my baby Richard. No, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, baby Dick.
Just go with Dick, yeah. Just go. Don't be such a Richard.
You know, last week was a dismal. As far as fan participation, fans coming to the game, it was just, it was bad.
Better, I hope.
Do you think more people will come now that there's, now that they've seen Ryan Tannehill play, they think, okay, yeah, a resurgence, do you think more fans come out?
A percentage increase, yes. I'll leave you to interpret that.
3 to 5%.
Well, right? They need to come because I'm the 12th man, so they need to come.
Whoa.
Who's the 12th
man? Wait, what?
I am. But this game.
Why are you not announcing this?
You don't want to tease that for a further future segment? Or?
Yeah, come on, radio guy.
So you're going to be on the on the field?
Yeah.
Standing in a suite?
What are you going to hold the sword? Are you going to have your shirt on? Will you take your shirt off?
Will you come out to Whitney Houston?
No, I'm not taking my shirt off.
I think you should come out to Whitney Houston with your shirt off.
I want to dance with somebody.
I
don't want to.
And just
like,
twerk on midfield. Yeah, just
twerk in midfield.
With your shirt off, holding a sword.
Top four in the world of college football.
Can I say it like LeBron?
You want to? Yeah. Go ahead.
Top four today.
Hey, yo, keep my name out your mouth. That was the Morning Drive Daily Rewind. 6.5 million of auditory excellence in case you missed any of the festivities today on Morning Drive, which occurs Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. until 10 a.m. Moving forward, now you got to do the top four Tuesday LeBron
thing. Yeah, I know. That's
a new staple.
That's the thing moving forward now. Top four Tuesday!
And I think moving forward with that, like once college football is over, we should still do a top four Tuesday.
But
just simply
else.
So you could yell that.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll rank like, you know, our top four
anything.
Taco accessories.
Yeah, we can rank anything.
Top salsa,
four,
cheese.
Top four Pred defensemen.
Yeah, we can do anything. Top four Pred goals. We can do anything.
Top four meats.
But we got to get, you know, if somebody want to, it could be top four presented by.
There we
go. Know.
There we go.
There you go.
Yeah, we got to.
It's good work out of you.
Like, exactly. Can tacos as an entire food group sponsor the segment?
Yeah, they want to.
Like, yeah. Top four Tuesday brought to you by tacos.
Brought to you by Little Dick's Taco Truck. Predators Ducks tonight.
Hey, my father's name is Richard, so it's okay.
Is it?
We can make the jokes. Yeah, he's Richard.
Wow.
But your dad's name is Richard.
Yeah, you went by Rick.
Oh, see?
He goes by Rick.
And I.
So your dad's name is
Dick. I went by Ricky.
Your dad is Dick Gall.
Technically.
Yeah.
Does anybody call him Dick Gall?
Well, his middle name is Walter, and so his name growing up was
Richard Walter?
Ricky Wally Golly. That was his name.
Ricky Wally Golly.
That was his
nickname.
Hey, Ricky
Wally Golly?
That was his nickname growing up.
That's too long.
But basically it's all of his names in hockey language.
But it's too long.
It's all just hockey nicknames.
Was he ever called Galsy?
Richard is Ricky.
Yeah.
Walter is Wally. Gall is Golly. That's all just hockey language.
Y'all
coming
call him Galsy?
I don't call him. I call him Dad. Like, I don't call him. I don't call him by
I'm
his
call
first
him Galsy,
name.
Like, hey, Galsy.
Actually, I just call him Big Dick.
Hey, Father.
Hey, Big Dick. Are you making the drinks in there?
Father Galsy. All right, that's it for us. Tuesday is in the books.
Where's
thank
my
God.
Martini?
Darren Donick and Chase.
Stop for Tuesday.
They are coming up next. As one man once famously said when he signed off on his social media post, I'm just saying, take care.
Bailey DJ Nashville, I love you on this Tuesday.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.